episode 2, Picking Out the Lemons.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to When Life Gives You Lemons, episode 2, Picking Out the Lemons. I'm your host, Joe Money, whatever y'all want to call me. But I am your host, Joe. It's so nice to be back with you guys again. I hope you all enjoyed episode 1, the launch. Of course, that's been out now by the time we get done with this episode. But yes, I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope you all are also like taking notes and just taking in all the facts and all the educational facts and just taking notes just for yourself and your own journey throughout this podcast. So I always want to keep that in mind. Take notes, okay? All the things that be in the podcast is to help you. WLGYL is for the people, okay? So I want to make sure that y'all get all the knowledge, all the wisdom, everything that y'all need throughout this podcast. So yes, like I said, welcome back to When Life Gives You Lessons. So we have our first special guest. So let me introduce our first special guest for episode 2. We have here Miss Constance Roberts. She is a retired CPS teacher, if you don't know Chicago Public Schools, for 35 years of experience in education. She spent 32 years teaching in the Englewood community here in Chicago and impacting the lives of many students, okay? She is passionate about learning and growing, and she has attached herself to the outside causes that will have an immediate impact on youth so that their experience can guide their journey. She's proud to be a mother. She's proud to be a grandmother. And as of last week, she will be fulfilling the role of a field supervisor, Professor Roberts, at National Lewis University. This gives her opportunity to pour into new, young, talented teachers. And she's so honored to be part of that process. And I'm so honored to have her on my show. Give it up for my mommy, Miss Constance Roberts. Yay! How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm good.
Great.
I'm good. The weather's kind of nice today.
Good weather.
You know, even though it snowed yesterday.
Right.
That was real ghetto.
For January, I definitely was expecting something different.
Yeah.
Because we are approaching your birthday. And generally, this time of year, there's snow everywhere and major snowstorms on their way. So we're having good weather, so let's keep it that way.
Let's keep it that way, for sure. So you've been a retired teacher. How's retired life, first of all? That's the dream that I think all of us want to get to, being retired and just living. So how is that?
Well, it has its ups and downs. So for one, I was able to retire at 57 because I started working right out of college. And so in terms of being able to not have to work till you're 65 or 70 years old, definitely is a plus. The other downside of that is like, it's a long day. And what do you do with yourself? And I'm thinking, because I still feel youthful and still am kind of young, I just needed like something else to do.
Yeah.
Wasn't really ready to come home and sit in a rocking chair and become a couch potato. So I enjoy being retired because I don't have to go somewhere and do something, but I still feel the need to do something some days of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And so given the new position at National Lewis University.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. You are very active. She don't know how to sit down. That's one thing we always tell her. And she just always, I love that, I always say about you and dads, y'all never let the day go past without accomplishing something. Or even if it's just little things as like going to the store or like going to the gym, because they are in their gym era now, especially mommy. So does that make you like, when you accomplish something throughout the day or like, you know, what? How does that make you feel like being in the retired lifespan? Like, is it something that you feel like you have to do, or is it just something just to keep your mind knowledgeable and also just to keep your mind on a focus on something?
Well, certainly I would say that the gym adds to mobility. So for years, being a teacher, run up and down the stairs all day, You know, you got to pick the kids up, and then you got to drop them off at lunch, pick them up from lunch, take them to prep, pick them up from prep. So I got a lot of exercise in. And I had an accident like in 1994, which impacted my knees. And so the cartilage is, you know, not what it needs to be. Mm-hmm. So I know for me, I need the movement in order to stay mobile. But one lesson that, as you mentioned, your dad and I both do the gym, your grandmother on your dad's side,
shout out to Granny.
She lived in the building on 54th University.
University,
right?
Yeah.
And she was on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
And so after she had the knee replacement and everything, it was difficult for her to climb those stairs. So some of us had the bright idea to put her in a senior building.
Mm-hmm.
And so Granny was moved from that apartment building where she got herself in and out, where she got the Pace bus, where she did her grocery shopping, where she did everything, to a senior facility where everything is located in one spot and got the elevators. And what we noticed within less than 6 months' time, she lost her mobility. Mm-hmm. Like, even talking with us, she would have to turn her entire body. She couldn't turn her neck. And just to see that decline.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember near the end, your dad and I were talking about that. And we said, lesson learned, you got to stay mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And once we saw that, that always stayed in my mind that I was going to always remain active, still try to climb those stairs, move as much as you can, as long as you can. Because that saying about if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah.
I saw that firsthand.
And
even good. With my mom, with the Parkinson's, same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know how that journey went.
Yeah.
And to see somebody not be able to move, use their hands, have voice speak, is devastating.
Yeah.
And so having both of those, my mom and mother-in-law, to see their bodies decline like that, it's very important to me that I not let mine do the same.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, definitely when I saw it in Gigi, that was a fast decline. Like, because she was also a woman that was always on the go.
Always.
Always. On the go. Like, even in her room, she'll be on the go.
Doing something
she wasn't supposed to do.
Right.
So, but I love that you took, just from seeing how they were getting older and getting more age, that you took that and was like, that's not going to be me.
Right.
Like, and that's, I think that's too, we learn so well from, not just like wisdom, everything, but just like seeing how the older generations get older. We learn like so much from them. Like, I learned a lot from Gigi and Granny, like what to do and what not to do when I get older as a woman, and
right.
like how to carry yourself and how to speak. And so we learn, that's wisdom.
Wisdom.
That's the Definitely wisdom.
Wisdom.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good. Yes. Okay, so this episode is picking out lemons, right?
Okay.
So first episode, we went over what are lemons, how we compare them to life lessons, because of course that this journey is WLG by L, the acronym. It's about the journey from lessons to lemons. And I wanted to clear it up too for everybody. When we're thinking about lemons, because I know we not all know the same, and when life gives you lemons, you turn them into lemonade. But our lemons here on the podcast is more about the color of lemons and not the taste of them. It's more about how do you take those lessons and make them bright, because that is what lemons, the color is. It's brightness, it brings a refreshness to the room, it really just, you know, just puts a whole new look on things. So that is what we refer to as lemons here, more of like color rather than taste wise. So this first episode, we went over like what are lemons and how we compare them to life lessons and everything. So this time around, we're going to do picking out the lemons, right? So I got a couple of notes.
Okay.
That I want you guys to know, you got your pen and paper out. You go ahead and get your pen and paper out, okay? All right, so we're going over the color of lemons, right? Did you know that there were like 4 different ways to pick out lemons? Like what they mean?
Not at all.
Like what the different colors mean?
Not at all.
Not
I okay. have seen the various colors of lemons.
Mm-hmm.
I think any time that I've ever picked a lemon, I check for the firmness. I thought not so bright and not too dark. I kind of had like a medium ground for like saying, okay, that's a good lemon, and just how it felt.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I've always chosen my lemons.
Your lemons.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the color, like what each and every color mean. So we start from the bottom barrel of it. We have green lemons, right? Green lemons mean they're underripe, they're not ready for use yet. So that's like when the lemons first start growing and they're starting to get their color to it, their taste to it and everything, but it's not ready for use yet. Then under that you have deep yellow and orange yellow. So those are overripe lemons. So they may or may not be usable. They have a softer flesh, a less vibrant flavor to them. So they're not as tart or not as sweet yet. They're still developing more of the color than the inside taste of them. And then you got the light green yellow, which is kind of what we more see in the stores nowadays. Those are the slightly underripe. So they're still usable. Those are like your lemons that's about to go bad, but they're not bad yet. So they're still usable. Less juicy though, or less tart. And then you got your bright yellow, which is the ripe, juicy lemons. They're ready to go. They're ready to be squeezed and prepared and all of that. So I compared these different colors to what your life lesson, whatever you're going through, what you can use that as, right? So we say green, the underripe, not ready for use yet, right? So that's when your lesson first starts. That's your green. That's when it first started. It's fresh. It's right out. It just happened. So it's not ready for you to take in all the details yet. It's not ready to give you what you need to learn from it or what you need to take from it yet. It's like just happened. Then you got your deep yellow or orange yellow. That's when you're starting to get into the thick of it. I don't want to say like the drama of it, but kind of like that. That's when you're getting into the thick of it. Things are still happening with it. You're still trying to understand what's going on. It's overripe. It's not all the way there yet. Then you got your light green yellow, which we said is the slightly underripe, still usable. So that's when you get in towards the end of that lesson. Everything is starting to make sense. It's starting to, you know, feel like, okay, I understand why I'm going through this. I understand or why this happened to me. And then you got your bright yellow. And that's when the lesson is done. And now you take everything that you need from it and you apply it to life. You apply it to how you're going to change. Like, what goodness are you going to get out of it? Like I said, how can you apply it to life? So that's your bright yellow lemon. So that is how you pick out your lemons. If y'all ever knew that, that's how you pick out your lemons in the stores. If y'all some lemon people, right? Lemons are good in water too. It helps with digestion and stuff. Y'all should tap into that. So yeah, so that's what picking out lemons are, right? So of course, picking out lemons, we want to go more into your story. So what is one of your biggest life lesson stories? And you don't have to go too in depth. You don't have to do it. But what is one thing that, one lesson in life that you still install all the things that you learned from it to this day?
So I think if I go back to your categories of the beginning, lemon and the sages and not being developed yet, would be the beginning of teaching for me. Mm. So
I was gonna ask too, is what is it like a teaching moment for
of
you?
Course. Yeah. Because I spent so many years teaching.
Yes. Right? That's your life.
Right. It was definitely my life. Mm. So my experience, I started subbing as a way to earn money and really got into it as I saw some young children one time. Like, I literally saw like the light bulb come on, right? Mm-hmm. But at that time I was at my neighborhood school, where I went to grammar school, and then eventually I moved to another school that wasn't too far from my home, but in areas that I felt safe and comfortable. So then I was transferred to where I spent the bulk of my career, in Inglewood. And so my preconceived notions were, oh no, I want to teach there. You know, I don't want to do this. Like, I'm just not going to, it's not going to work out.
Yeah, because when you think of Inglewood, you like,
right. Cause, you know, because I'm grown up hearing different things, not ever being a part of that or knowing anything about the neighborhood or just hearsay. Mm-hmm. Those generalized statements that people, that you get and that we hang on to and ride the wave thinking that's what it really is. So just trying to find my way, muddle through the understanding the community, understanding the children, and understanding, okay, how am I going to fit into this scenario? Mm-hmm. And how can I best be used, right? Mm-hmm. And so as I went on to the next lemon of the orange, the redness, whatever, I was taken in from the staff was phenomenal. Those at the time, there were teachers there that had been there for a number of years who were passionate, who wasn't there to collect a check. Mm. And they took on the new younger teachers. They mentored us, they coached us, they were like mothers to me. They walk past and slap me on the hand, or you know, tell me, hey, take that bulletin board down, that's not right. Mm-hmm. They gave me really good advice. And then as I moved into that area of the lemon that's just almost ready, mm-hmm. is when I hit my own stride. Mm-hmm. When I realized like where I was, how I could be impactful, what was needed. And that point came at one point in my life. Your dad was offered a position in the Evanston School District, and we moved to the north side, and he was able to get me a position as well. And it sounded good, it sounded tempting, and my mind still was kind of thinking, oh, the behavior would be different. But at some point, as we talked about it more, I never ever did go for the interview. What crossed my mind at that point was that Evanston and all the great school districts have phenomenal teachers. They have people that are putting in, giving back. But what about the Englewood area? Mm-hmm. And they needed somebody just as qualified. They needed somebody who cared. They needed somebody that was passionate. They needed somebody to show them that being a young black person, you too can rise above. There's nothing holding you back. And nice. Being able to show them, or being that example, you know, that you can do it, I did it. And so we just got to settle down and get into it. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that made the difference. It was a hike. You know, the Chicago traffic is no joke. But I made it work. And I decided that that was my decision. That I was going to stay there. And as long as I was going to stay there, I was definitely going to make a difference. Mm-hmm. If nothing else, if you sat in my classroom, you're going to have some knowledge when you leave here.
Yes, sir.
And so by the time I really hit the ripened part, was really my latter years, being in middle school, just being able to inspire, get those kids filling out high school applications, moving them on to the next level, because that's important. Because from that journey from your grammar school to high school to where you're going to college, all of that has to come into place. Mm-hmm. And having those students to be able to look past tomorrow, mm-hmm. right? For them, it was always about today. I need you to think about your future. What it's going to look like in the next 5-10 years, where you want to be, what do you want it to look like, and what are the things that you need to do to get there.
Yeah.
And so those last 10 years of my experience of being in middle school and helping students fill out high school applications and seeing the joy and excitement in their face with the acceptance letters meant all the world to me. Because at that point in time, I realized that I had muddled through, I had taken and listened to all the advice that had been given, I had changed my perspective, I had been intentional about being purposeful in that building, and so seeing it come to fruition was like the joy for me. It had been applied in their life so that they could soar and move on.
That's good. And that's good too, because having you care for them, that's one thing. As you know, I think every kid, no matter what generation you grew up in, mm-hmm. having somebody who cares for you, having somebody who really is putting their best foot forward to make sure that you understand what your future is going to look like, you know, being happy that I did accept this high school offer, that I did get back like 4 or 5 different offers, and you know, just having, especially in that community still to this day, because I'm also now
currently there.
Currently at the exact school she retired from. I work there now. Full circle. She was pregnant with me there. I was raised there, and now I work there. Full circle moment. But still to this day, that support is not there. And just having, coming to school every day and knowing like, oh, I got somebody who really is going to care for me, who's really going to install in me all the things that I know should be installed in me in this life, but I don't have that around me, like at home or outside in this community, like that makes children put their best foot forward. So I love that you were a staple for that, and you're still a staple for that, even now transitioning, going into student teachers now, mm-hmm. Just making sure that they know like, hey, your future matters too, like, because where do you want to go with this as a teacher? Right. Like, do you want to go with this? Do you want to be a teacher? Do you want to go to dean? Do you want to go to principal? Or like, do you want to stay as a teacher? Like, just always knowing there's multiple things to do than just what you see today. Like, you never know what's going to happen in the next 5 years. Like, right. Yeah, that's good. Is there any moment in your 35 years of teaching that you wanted to give up?
Oh, yes, there were a number of times that I wanted to give up. So, first of all, teaching was not my career choice. I was a political science major. I wanted to go to law school. I started subbing as a means of income, and I was going to sub it during the day and go to law school at night. And as I said, and one of my experiences subbing at my grammar school, they gave me a kindergarten classroom, and I could just see those little minds and how that light bulb was going on is what drew me into teaching. So I had some experiences. I had a principal that was not kind and wanted to try to run me off. Had some parents that were unkind and wanted to run me off. And I had some students that were just absolutely horrible. Like, I mean, some language and some things they said, I'm like, oh, I never heard that before. But, you know, you have to just take a deep breath. You know, you may even have to take a day or two off to kind of regroup, and you just got to stay with it. And I think that's a real part of life lessons is making a choice to stay in it. If it's what you feel so much, like if we look at it biblically, what's your assignment? And like, what are you here for? Yeah. You know, right? Yeah. Because it's not how long we live, but it's the, what do we do with our life in the span that we're here? And so if we feel like or know that that is our particular assignment, God has given us that task, then we got to stay in it, and we have to make the adjustments. As you said, applying those life lessons, learning, you took in what you gathered, and now moving forward. And so, yeah, sometimes it's heartbreaking. You know, the bureaucracy of it, the paperwork, it's just a whole lot of stuff. You know, sometimes I'm like, when do I have time to teach? Right? And some days I would stand there and go, nobody's learning anything in this classroom but me. But, you know, we have to readjust, because always know that you may not think you're having an impact, but in the end, you really are.
That's good. And I love how you change your perspective on that. Like, what was that moment, that mind shift for you that made you be like, I'm not going to give up on this?
So, as I said, when I first was transferred to Englewood, my thought was, oh, it's Englewood, be scared, right? And so, maybe my second year there, I had a parent to come to me, and she said, you know, it's been a long time since I've been in school. And she said, I have no clue about this new math. And she said, and I just feel awful that I can't help my kid with his homework. And she's like, so what do you suggest? Like, what can I do? And so I said, well, you know, how about I teach you the math, and then you could help him in the evening. So I started a morning class. She started coming in the mornings before school. I would demonstrate, show her the lesson. She told a friend, they told a friend. I had like a real group of parents. Like, they came like three mornings a week. And the conversation in between showing them what the lesson was and how to help the kids with the homework, I listened to those parents and what they said. They wanted the same thing for those kids that the parents in Beverly wanted, that the parents in Evanston wanted, that the parents in Bloomington wanted. They wanted their kids to be successful. They wanted their kids to be college graduates. They wanted their kids to have a career. They wanted to see their kids grow and become and move beyond their circumstances. And that was a major shift impact for me. Because just because of where you live or you be at your socioeconomic circumstance does not mean that you don't have the same dreams and the same aspiration as somebody with all the dollars, right? And so that's where my shift came. That they're no different than anybody else. And they want it, and but oftentimes there's so many walls that are thrown up and so much that is blocked that they give up. So it became a mission for me to like, well, how can I help you do it? Like, you know, I could have said to her, oh, well, you know, reading, you know, each book, they model it. You know, well, I'll make sure he brings the book home and you look at it and figure it out. But in that moment, and I don't even know where it came from, had no intentions of even, you know, doing that. But when she said it, it just seemed, well, come on, I'll show you and then you'll be fine. Because she came to me. I mean, I think that's kind of heartfelt for a parent to come and say, and she was an older parent too, and to admit your weakness or to be that vulnerable to say, I don't know, and I can't help them. And she was frustrated that at this, she had been able to help them. Maybe they were in third grade. She had been able to help the kid with the homework prior to this point. And now it's like,
what do I do?
What do I do? Right? And I felt her passion. I felt her pain. I heard what she was saying. Yeah. That I said, oh, come on by. Yeah, we'll do it. And it turned into a real thing. And I really, really got a lot out of that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's being there for not just the younger generation, but for the older generation as well. And just also, as a parent, you want to, even though I'm not a parent, but just from seeing you and, you know, seeing dad, you always want to make sure that you're on it. And you want to seem like the perfect parent, but everybody is not a perfect parent. So I love that you let them, that they felt comfortable enough to come and even tell you that, that mom was like, hey, like, yeah, girl, I don't know nothing past no third grade math, but I'm willing to help. Because especially, I feel like in today, just being working in the school, I feel like a lot of parents are afraid to admit that they have weaknesses, and they're afraid to admit like, oh, well, I can't really help my kid because I don't really even know what's going on, or, you know what I'm saying, or I need help with my own life, and but I'm afraid to admit that. I just want to make it look like I got it all together, but you're not always going to have it together. Like, you're not always going to, as a parent, as a young person, older person, everything, we're learning and we're growing literally each and every day. And that's the lesson that they got out of that. It's like, okay, if I'm just open enough and just admit what I need, I can get it. So let me go ahead and just say that. Yeah.
Just go ahead and say it. Because there's no manual to life. Mm-mm. Right? Mm-hmm. And so being a parent, being a young person, growing up, becoming a young adult, any of that, to these various careers that are available, there's no manual on how it should be done and the best way to do it. Yeah. Right? I mean, they got all kind of little books for dummies that say whatever. But when in real time and real action, it becomes something different.
That's true.
And it's just about how you approach it and how it best suits you. Right. And so you take a lot from me. I took a lot from my work experience, you know, because by the time I had you later in life, there were certain things that I knew that I didn't want you to do, certain avenues that I knew I didn't want you to go down, certain programs that I had been exposed to, just being in the teaching field that had come, you know, through the school that I knew I wanted you to be a part of. So it that my career helped me to foster your growth, I think, as a parent. Not being so much about, I think in some ways I was kind of like, do it. But then I also was like, let her be a little free.
Yeah.
Let her have a little moment. Like, because I realized early on your creative ability and that, you know, you're going to be you and do it your way. So I had to learn how to kind of just kind of step down a little bit, you know, but keeping still the parent rules and borders, like, okay, now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think that everything that we do helps us to grow.
Mm-hmm.
It helps us to learn lessons. And to me, that, I think that's like the most important thing. I used to always tell you, like, you know, things are going to go wrong and it's going to be situations, right? And so you get a day to cry about it. And then tomorrow you got plan A, B, C, and D.
Awesome.
And your mission is to work all of it until you get it right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you can't wallow in, oh, it's me. Oh, this happened. Oh, poor me. Because then you get the wrong mindset and depression creeps in and you can't move past it. You won't never want to get stuck. So it's all about taking in the lessons. If something happened, wasn't how you wanted it to go, where's the growth? What did you learn? How did it move you? What can you do different going forward?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so for me, it's always about, you know, I won't say not taking the time to grieve it, because I'm going to grieve it. I'm going to look at it. And I'm going to have some days later on beyond that one day that I cried about it to think about, man, did me dirty.
Mm-hmm.
But did I allow myself to be done dirty? Right? Was I in a position, wasn't paying attention or didn't give it my best or whatever? So we have to look at it and not be like pointing the finger at somebody else. So say you point one, you got something pointing back, right?
Yeah.
And so just learning the lesson, like take the what you got from it and do it differently going forward if it needs to be done differently.
Yeah. That's wisdom. That's good. You've always told me that. Like, you gonna cry today? You got 24 hours. And them next 24, you better get up and you better go figure it out. I always tell people that today.
Yeah, you
tell me. I always tell people, I'm like, my mama always told me you got 24 hours to cry about it. And then the next 24. But I feel like that's just you installing in me as always. Why I've always been like so, not quick to get over things, but be like, all right, we got to figure it out. Right. Like, to be more realistic.
Right.
You've always taught me to be realistic, always. Right. And be like, all right, we can, it's nothing wrong with having dreams. There's nothing wrong with having visions. And there's nothing wrong with thinking that it was supposed to go how it was supposed to. But it didn't. So let's just move on from that. Like, I can see a lot how your teaching lifestyle has applied to your normal lifestyle, mm-hmm. and how it's applied to your mothering style as well. Does the same way apply to you as a grandmother? That same, because I ain't gonna lie, she's a little softy now. Now she got grandkids, they do no wrong. Me and my sister was getting whoopings, and we were getting the, she wasn't like beating us, y'all. Don't think like that. She was the real mother, okay? She was the real mother. But how do you apply that now? Because, you know, your kids are grown. So it's like, how do you install that now into your grandkids?
Well, I don't know. I think you experience this, right? Mm-hmm. And so if I look back at how my grandmother relationship, like, that was my girl. Like, mm-hmm. Gigi was your girl.
Yeah.
Gigi never whooped you.
Never.
My grandmother never whooped me.
Never.
Yeah, that's the parent's role. Like, you know, so as a grandmother, I mean, if I need to discipline either of them, I will. But I'm more about explaining to them, like, why what you did was wrong and making them think about, like, how you could have done that differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're a kid. You're not thinking about certain things, right? It's about you.
Yeah.
And so making them look at it from a different perspective, like, oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that, right?
Mm.
And so I'm probably way more lenient because I figure I'm not the mom. It's not my job. Like, mm-hmm. hey, go down there and let your mother deal with that. Because, you know, grandmothers and grandchildren relationship is just different. It's special. And I would never want to do anything to make them feel as though I don't care about them and I don't love them and have their best interests at heart. So, yeah, they probably get away with some things. But if I need to crack the whip, I'll do what I have to do.
You just said that like, you know, if I have to. It's giving like,
it's not something I want to do, but please understand and know.
Yeah.
It's still not going to walk over me.
No, never.
That's just not going to happen.
Never, no. Never.
So
if
you
that.
Need to be pulled back in,
mm-hmm.
I can do that.
You can do that. Definitely. I remember my pullback in moments. That was the moment. That's when I found out I wasn't going to play with Cotton. I'm like, oh, I can't play with her. Like, let me just get it together.
Yeah.
Come
on, yeah.
Got it. Real quick. I love that. So, in your journey of life lessons, because I'm pretty sure that you have gone through many, 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 many life lessons, can you tell us one way that, say for instance, from compared to when you were younger to now, is your processing different for changing your perspective and changing, putting your limit on it? Is your thought process different for how you go through lessons from, you know, from younger to now? Or, you know, how does that look for you now in this space?
No, I think it's always been the same. And I don't know if they still do that when you guys were in school. Those, like, little aptitude tests to say if you're analytical or if you are, you know, they would tell you, like, what your skill set was. So for me, I was always analytical. Like, I always wanted to see how things work, take things apart. And as you stated earlier about being facing reality, because it's so much easier to tell the truth than to try to keep up with a lie. Because mm-hmm. you tell one lie, you got to tell another. Mm-hmm. And then you got to keep that story going. And then you got to figure out what you told person A and person B and C. And then when A, B, C get in the room together, it's like, ugh, right? So if everybody got the same story, we don't have a problem.
Yeah.
So I think my processing, I think that I, maybe as I'm getting older, I am learning more to listen more, and that my perspective is not always the right perspective.
Mm.
I think I tried that even raising you, that I would at least listen, but then it was always like, but that don't make no sense to me. So you know what? No.
Yes.
Right. But now if you're able to explain to me what it makes sense to me. So I'm trying to understand people maybe like meet them where they are and how they see it and how they visualize it and how they came to that conclusion and trying to understand that more, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that is the adjustment that I'm making as I'm growing older, instead of thinking, oh, well, you know, this is how it should be,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so I've been really, really working hard at that. And I think being in the classroom, being a parent, you know, you just got to have a ground and this is it, right? Mm-hmm. I can't be swayed because yeah, these rules, and this is how it goes, right? So now it's not being so stringent, like it doesn't, yeah, I can understand more. I've had more life experience that I can understand, like your thought processes, mm-hmm, where you're coming from based on your experiences, mm-hmm, or your traumas, right? Because we all have different experiences. We all have, you know, some traumas are more elevated than others, yeah, right? And all of that plays into you as a person, you as a human and an adult, and how you respond and react to others, right? And so once we kind of understand maybe that baseline from where that person is operating from, then we're able to kind of understand how they move a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And so I work on that constantly.
That's good.
Right.
That's good.
Because I'm not always right.
Not always right. No. Oh, you got that like Gene. You got that like Gigi. It's like, well, no, I think no. I'm. But I also think that's a Leo thing too. Always. You know, we got another Leo in the room that's on a 10. Always thinking. It's like, oh my gosh. But no, I love that you're. Because I feel like too. Because you're not old. Let's get that right. Let's get it right. I'm not. She looks good. I'm not telling y'all her age. If y'all knew, y'all be like, ain't no way, Jose. Okay? Ain't no way. But I think as I've seen this too, like growing up, that older people, especially working at the restaurant and dealing with a lot of older crowd, and especially a lot of church older people, they get stuck in their ways. Right, and right. It's like, it's no this, well, oh, this is how I used to do it, and this is how we used to do it back in the day, so this is how it's going to go. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. It's like, can you listen to the new ways of thinking? Right. Like, can you listen to, it's, and to be honest, everything is still the same. We're just putting it in a new perspective. That's it. That's it. That's that all. Everything. Mm-hmm. You're right. Everything comes back around. Everything. Mm-hmm. So I love that you keep that in your mind and try to do better at that. It's mm-hmm. like, well, let me listen. You know, like even just me being a creative. Like mm-hmm. I know your thoughts was like, how is you finna make money off this? Like, girl, what is you doing? Like, why you wanna do what? Like, even with the like the whole, but even. I saw that change too when I went to college. And you were the one that told me that I really think that you should go into something with media and radio. And mind y'all, I was thinking like I had to be this lawyer because we have a family of teachers, lawyers, doctors, all of that. So I always thought I had to follow like that game plan, that plan. And then my mom came to me one day. She's like, let's be real. You don't like to read. I'm like, you're right. She's like, you don't like to read. You really don't like to study. And that's all you have to do with being a lawyer. That's everything that comes with it. But you just telling me that day, like, I think you should do something with media, TV, like, something in that realm. And then we went to Columbia, and that happened. Like, I even saw that thing that you changed your perspective of, oh, there's multiple ways that you can make money. There's multiple things that you can have careers in now. And if you think about it, like, back in the day, that's kind of what it wasn't like to this height, but even newscasters and radio people back then, like it seemed like a joke back then, but then now look at the height. That's all, we're in the media world now. So I saw that change then in you when you were like, I think that you should go into this. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think when we came upon that era where we had to do college applications, mm-hmm. and that I'm glad that you were able to see it from not, oh, my mama don't think I'm smart enough to do whatever.
Yeah.
That was just a reality moment, mm-hmm. a reality check. Mm-hmm. Like, your dad not going to pay for whatever, but let's do something that you want to do. And I don't think I even had a thought about how you going to make a living from it. Because it was all about, if you get a degree, you'll get a job someplace, and it probably won't be in anything that you went to school for, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But it'll get you in the door, mm-hmm. right? So at least, let's at least make the college experience enjoyable. didn't want you to be someplace where it was just like, oh my God, I don't want to be here. Oh, I got to get them to go to class. You know, that was a waste of money. People paying for classes and, you know, you sitting at the, in the dorm room like, oh, I'm not going today, you know?
Yeah.
But what I saw in you, because also you had that where you were in, had got nominated for those schools and they're going to give you a full scholarship. And we went to the University of Wisconsin, I remember.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You were so uninterested. Your father was just, oh yeah, go Badgers. And he's just already, because they had a great football team, right? And he was just all into it, and he's on the campus, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to be coming up here, and I'm going to do the games, and I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And you were like, on the phone, not to texting, not paying attention to the tour guide. And then we did the tour down, went down to Xavier, and
New
just
Orleans,
your
yeah.
interest, right? But the experience at Columbia that Saturday morning, because we left for the trip the next day.
Yep.
I was trying to contact you about meeting up for lunch, and you didn't respond because, you know, your phone is just like attached to your hand. So when you didn't respond to me, I'm like, okay, what's going on? And when I finally did catch up with you in that break, you were just like, in your art, I remember saying to you, ooh, you found your people.
Yeah.
And so I could see, like, you were comfortable in that space. And so for me, it was more important about you having a good college experience as more opposed to how much money you're going to make when this is over and done with, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And finding your passion. Mm-hmm. And I think that had started to become the mindset of most adults. A lot of celebrities were saying that, you know, find something that you like so that you never work a day in your life, you know, that saying that they say.
Yeah.
And then when the president of the university came out and he said, made that statement about, okay, we know you all have these artsy kids and you don't think they can make any money. He says, but our mission here is to help them find work. And I thought, okay, well, at least he knows that we feel that way. And at least they have something in place to try to help them find a job. So we'll just see how it goes.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So you literally have been taking life lessons, and you've always turned them into lemons, into brightness, into sunshine. And just you yourself, you are a lemon. So I want to give you like your lemon flowers, because you've always been a breath of fresh air. You've always been a light to everyone I know. Like everyone that comes to me, like even working at the school, like your mom was that girl. Like, and just not even in cockiness, no, never been cocky, never been, you've always been humbled. You've always carried yourself in a humble manner. Like, but it was time to pop your stuff, you pop your stuff. Like, you come out with the credentials and the in the resume. That's it. But
if needed
be now, don't play. But you've always been a lemon, and you've always found brightness to any situation. That's why I always tell people, like, when I'm crashing out, I need to talk to my mama, because that's the one of the only people that can calm me down. Because I'll be like, I don't see where this can go. Well, before I was, well, I still, now to this day, I've gotten a lot better with it. But before I started like healing journey and like getting more into God and like going to read scriptures, everything, like, you are always the one that make me understand the limit out of every lesson that I'm going through. So I'm gonna give you a lemon flowers.
But I do want to add to that about you using a lemon too. You know, lemons are a citric, and it's always a refreshing, right? Either if it's a sour taste or a better taste or whatever it is to you, it's refreshing. And so the things about the lemons and the lesson, it's stay on refresh. Keep it going, keep it moving, learning new things and building from there.
That's good.
Refreshing.
That's good. Is that your advice for the people? Looking at the camera, tell me that again.
Right? Because what do we look for in the summer? We want it on the hot days. The lemonade is my favorite drink in the summer, right?
It is.
Because it is so refreshing.
That's
it quenches
so
your thirst. Right?
Yes, it is.
And it just kind of uplifts you. The sun has drained you. The heat has drained you. And you get a good sip of that ice cold lemonade, and it's like, okay, yeah, I can go on. I can keep moving.
Yeah.
So taking life lessons and the lemons, because it's a refresh. Mm. It's refreshing. It refreshes you. It refreshes your mind. It refreshes your body. It's a cleansing.
Yeah.
It's fruit as well.
Yeah,
the citric acid. Detoxing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't do anything but win with the lemon.
Yeah, it's good, Mom. Y'all heard Miss Roberts. You can't do nothing but win. When are we taking W's all 2025. But all 2025. So since you are about to start a new journey, of course on this journey you're about to go through more life lessons, but you're also about to teach lessons to adults, not kids anymore. So tell us like about that. Like, what is going to be your mindset going into that? Like, how are you going to install in your students how to get lemons out of going into this new teaching life? Because like we stated, this is about to be, teaching today is like a whole new world of teaching, right? So how are you going to encourage them on how to get the lemons, or even how to pick the lemons out while they're in this teaching journey?
Well, for me, I think my first, the reason why I even have the interest in this is because teacher retention is low. And I've seen some really good young teachers come in and they leave. Like, I'm not doing this. I can't do it. Like, how have you been here this long? And they will go and find other work. And I have seen where they had so much to give and so much to the input that they, impact that they would have had on students. So I think I want to start off with my new students that I'll be mentoring, saying to them, you know, what you get in the classroom, the book, and what you get in real time, school classroom, is totally different than the videos that you watch sitting in class, mm-hmm. right? And so the reality of it is, it's hard. So let's not even like pretend like it's not. Mm-hmm. And there's so much other stuff that comes on top of what you got to do, but that it's so worth it. And so it's going to be times where you want to cry, you want to quit, and it's just not worth it. And of course, you always feel like you're not being paid enough to be teacher, counselor, nurse, therapist, all of that. But you've got to find your groove, mm-hmm. and finding what works best for you. And, you know, for a while, you know, I just observe and pull a little bit from this person and pull a little bit from that person and bring in your own and read and make adjustment. And that's the biggest thing. Got to be able to make the adjustment, because you can have one principal for a set of 4 years and they want things done this way. Then you get a new principal and they throw all that out and come with something new. Mm-hmm. And then here comes somebody else and then they bring in programs and they take programs out. So find what works for you. Find your groove. What you know will take kids to the next level, what you know it takes to improve those scores, and build on that, you know. And you, they buy the materials and the books. You use what you can use out of that, but do what you know works best. And so my intention with my students is to not gonna give them the fluff. Mm. It's hard work, right? Damn, and when you got a life and you got kids and you got life and you got maybe an ailing parent or whatever you got going on, it's just like, man, can I get a nap? Mm-hmm. So just trying to help them to navigate that space, and also to understand that you got to take some time for yourself too. Mm-hmm. You got to take a breather sometime. You got to do a little weekend getaway. You got to shift from one thing to another, your mindset. And then the other thing that I want them to realize is that, you know, there's a lot of talk now about DEI, diversity, inclusion. You know, it's a lot of buzzwords and everybody throwing them out. Oh, we're inclusive. Oh, we're diversified. Oh, we're doing this, we're doing that. But are you really? Mm-hmm. And so what I would like them to do is to really make the effort. I want to see what that looks like for you. Like, how are you being inclusive? How are you making learning equitable for every student sitting in front of you? And that takes a lot of work. Mm-hmm. But in order to be successful, that's what it has to be. Mm-hmm. Because no longer are the days where, you know, kids are being pulled out or they're in this classroom for, you know, the special help that they need. You're going to have general ed, special ed. Now you got bilingual. You got a lot going mm-hmm. on, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and nobody wants to hear the excuse, yeah. right? So you got to be able to touch at some point each kid in that room.
Yeah.
And so it's hard work.
Yeah.
And so if we understand that from the beginning, I just need you to be up for the challenge. And if we can do that, then hey, let's charge, let's go, let's do it, make it happen.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, if you at National Louis University and you get Professor Roberts as your field supervisor, you're on the road. You're on the road. Period.
Right.
Okay, so we have a segment called Lemon Bucket.
Okay.
And I do this with my guests. So it's when we go on our Instagram page and Facebook page and all of that, and we pose a question.
Okay.
So we did a question this week, And the question was just basically said, like, what is a life lesson that people would just say, just a little more of an introduction question. What is a life lesson that people will want to talk about, like, on while we're doing this podcast journey? Or what is something that is, like, really a big life lesson that people would need help on that could, we could talk about everything? So one of our lemon buckets, and you can give your perspective on it, too. And the lemon bucket was dealing with anxiety, how to keep working and pushing through it. Have you ever had anxiety before?
Oh, yeah. Just the other night, like, I couldn't sleep.
Yes, I remember you told me that. Yeah. Like, right. You waking up. And I found that so funny, too, because usually I thought of it as, like, kids or like young people get that jittery, like you wake, that put me in like a kid mindset, right. Like you said, you woke up at 3 a.m. and yeah. You went to go get in the shower,
right? Right. I'm like, going to work, I'm going to be late, right?
But like just pushing through that anxiety, because was that like more of like fear anxiety for you, or was that more of like a what kind of anxiety was that for you?
For me, it was about, this is a new experience for me in some respects, because I have mentored teachers prior. But just stepping into, I don't know anybody, this is a whole new, from elementary to college level, right? And can I really feel the bill, right? Mm. Like, am I really able to mentor these young students properly, right? And then I was recommended by for the job by a friend who's, you know, I just feel like the light is on me, and they're the expectations of the team that hired me, because I'm following along in her footsteps, that they're expecting me to be as great and wonderful as she is. And it was just like, oh, you know, am I going to be able to do it? But I think I just, like, I can only do what I do and do it my way.
Yeah.
And that if my friend thought enough of me to recommend me, she knew my qualifications, she knew I could handle it, right? And so the self-doubt, and I think that's where anxiety comes from, we start to doubt it, and, oh, can I? And, oh, I'm going to mess it up. And I think that we need to learn to be more positive always. Like, yeah, we're gonna have some fear, and yeah, there's some uncertainty, and but you know what, if we keep God first, and if we just keep our mindset that I can do it, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna do everything that I need to do to be able to do it,
yeah,
so that means that I gotta look at some more videos, and I gotta read some more books, and I gotta check out some other things, and I gotta do what I gotta do to make me be the best at what I'm doing.
That's good.
Right?
Yeah.
And so our anxiety builds from self-doubt. And so we need mm-hmm. to learn to erase that self-doubt. Because, again, you know, God didn't give us anything that we can't handle. Right? Yeah. I'm going to put more on your plate that you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And so step into it and get comfortable with it.
Yeah, that's good. And you did that. Because last night, okay, when she stepped in there, first of all, what you say was like, 10 black.
Right, out of
7. First of all, it was like 10. It was 7 people in the room. It was 10 black people in the room. And my mama was the first to speak.
Right.
That's powerful.
Well, I'm going to speak.
And when she spoke, the whole room turned their head and clapped it up.
Right.
Because that's how you step into the room. So you let that anxiety, when you started talking, it was like that anxiety and that fear wasn't even. It felt like that's what you you were meant to be
right.
in that space. In that moment. That moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. So that's how you push through. I'm learning that too. Like, that's how you got to push through anxiety. Right. It's like you said, it's just a self-doubt thing. But mm-hmm. if you get in that positive mindset, I even found like maybe dumping the anxiety like on paper or mm-hmm. something like that. Like mm-hmm. just all of those doubts that you have, mm-hmm. like just putting it down somewhere. Or,
right.
You know, whatever you feel that you need to, how to push mm-hmm. through it and release from it. Maybe you need to go outside and scream. Like maybe, you know, just different ways. But I love that you said just keeping it positive. Mm-hmm. Like, and if you getting those, that self-doubt, like you feeling, okay, maybe it's more that I need to learn, or maybe it's more that I just need to, you know, understand. And right. it's nothing, like you said, nothing wrong with more knowledge. So,
right.
yeah, that's all anxiety is.
That's all it is. Because mm-hmm. as you climb into your greatness, the devil's always trying to snatch it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to kick it to the side. Like, nope, don't have room for you. Mm-hmm. So whatever ways that you can combat that, be it screaming, be it, you know, writing it out, singing a song. Like, I'm musical. I like music. So yeah. if I get into that space, then I'll play a song that will really uplift me.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that self-doubt kind of vanishes.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good, Mom. Well, thank you.
Well, I really wanted to say.
Okay. Yes, of course.
Thank you for having me as your
You're
first
welcome,
guest.
Mom.
And I just want to say that I am overjoyed. I am so excited to see you. come into this space, because this is something that you've talked about for a long time, and your self-doubt, your anxiety backed you off of it for a while. And so I am so very proud of you. Aww. And so glad to see that you are using God's gift, because it was given to you from the beginning, mm-hmm. that we recognize, and that living in your moment and your dream and making your reality come true and doing what you need to do to be in this moment. So I love you, and congratulations.
Thank you, girl. I had to make me cry.
No, sorry.
Oh, you know, I'm emotional.
And I'd like to also say you have a great team. And I love
you guys. Shout out to the team!
Beautiful people, and not to take anything away from any of the rest of you, but Nick, you gave her her first opportunity. And oh my God, I would never ever forget dropping her off over there at that radio station. It was a King Drive, yeah, a Drexel. And yeah, that you looked at her and thought that, you know, she could sub in for your partner that was missing that day. And
that's crazy.
You're responsible for a lot of this.
Yes.
And I really appreciate you. You know that, and I love you.
Love you too.
All right.
Thanks, Mom. Well, thank y'all for tuning in. www. Thank y'all for tuning in to WLGYL1 Life Gives You Lessons. I hope this inspired everyone. Not just if you're in a teaching field. I want you to take everything that my mom said, and I want you to apply it to any career that you're in, any life thing that you're going through, anything that you're doing. I want you to take everything in and apply it to whatever you're going through in life. And you just continue to make what? Lemons out of it. Period, point blank. Well, we'll see y'all next episode. And we love y'all. And remember to keep pushing. Remember to stay focused. Remember to stay positive. And remember, what else you want to tell them to remember, Mom? Remember what?
Love on yourself. Mm-hmm. And know that you can.
Yes. Thank y'all. Mwah, see. Love y'all. Love hit the you. Peace. Hit the peace. Boom.
Welcome to When Life Gives You Lessons, the journey from lessons to lemons. Do you ever go through a life lesson and wonder how you can turn that lesson into something bright to apply to your life? This podcast will be your guide on how to turn your life challenges into growth or a bright lemon, one lesson at a time. Get ready to hear stories, but also be educated on this thing called life from your host, Joe. I can't wait for you all to hear. Talk to you soon.